solidarity, renewal, and love, which we're having for the fifth consecutive year, to honor and carry on the works of our friend and brother Arthur Brown. We'd like to extend a special greeting to Arthur's mother, Mrs. Brown, and the members of her party who are here, and a welcome to you and all the artists who are joined together here to spread the word. We have for you four poets and musicians who worked with Arthur, learned from him, gave to him, and took from him. Donald Finkel, Eugene Redman, Shirley LaFleur, and myself, along with musicians Floyd LaFleur, Maurice Malik King, Tom Ray, and Freddie Washington. What we'll have is a first set, which will be tributes by these artists to Arthur, mainly readings from Arthur's own work. The second set we're honored to have with us tonight, a person who is certainly a St. Louis treasure, but really and just beginning to get acknowledged as a national treasure, a giant of the blues, Mr. Henry Townsend. So Henry will be around a little later. We're happy to see he made it here in the snow. So right now I'd like to introduce Shirley LaFleur, who will tell you a little bit more about the program and about Arthur Brown.
Again, good evening and welcome to the fifth annual celebration of the writings, the expressions, and songs and psalms of Arthur Ray Brown. I want to first say that I'm honored to be a part of the program and that he and I worked so many years and known each other so very long that it is a great pleasure to see the spirit of his works continuing. I want to tell you just a little bit about Arthur's work. For those of you that are not familiar with all of his works, Arthur was 34 when he passed in 1982. And I consider him basically his writings I kind of describe them as follows. Arthur's poetry is as folksy, intellectual, sophisticated, and naturally dry long so as was he. It sings the spirit of black folk tales, getting up Sunday morning, church going, J.B. Stetson, hat, snuff, jaw, toting, deacon on the front seat row pew, and it's getting down across a checkerboard with little suede shoes, retired, refried, storefront people style. It's love and lolly, paying dues, feeling like glory with the Lightning Hopkins blues, a bebop exchange with birdness, like Charlie Parker talking jazz and Uncle Buddy's whiskey drinking rye, smoking a Camel cigarette without walking a mile, calling Buddy Bolden. At the same time, it sings of nature's sweet melody coming softly in his writings of Oh, When I Come. When he wrote Sweet Melody Coming Softly, I can hear my goldfish singing, Brown is mirrored, a conscious dreamer, and oh, so real is his bedtime story poem for his brother called Junebug. At the peak of his creative energy, Arthur is heard a hallelujah chorus resounding with the writings of I Am Inventing Michelangelo, which is predicted by some to be among his masterpieces. Arthur Brown was a graduate of Sumner High School. He earned a BA from Webster College, two master's degrees in English Lit and Creative Writing from Washington University, and had completed much of his coursework toward a PhD. He was one of the original members and of the performing arts group Free in Concert, and was one of the original poets of the Duff's Poetry Series. He was author of a book published called A Song Called The Sly Mongoose. In 1981, he was a literary fellow of the Commission on Arts and Humanities of St. Louis. Arthur was working on a collection of poems for his new book, which he planned to call The Body Experience. Many of the titles of his works have been described in this brief introduction. I will present to you the first person that will give tribute to him, which is Mr. Don Finkel. And following Don, he will introduce the next person, who will be Mr. Castro. Don Finkel is poet and resident at Washington University. The significant thing about Don being here is that he was an instructor and friend of Arthur's, as we all were friends. He advised Arthur's master writing of The Sly Mongoose. Without further comment, Mr. Don Finkel.
Fifteen years ago, or maybe more, I had the incredible fortune of sharing this space with Arthur, not once, but three different times. Those were outrageous occasions, enough to last a man several lifetimes. But it never occurred to me that someday I'd be standing here reading Arthur's poems. That's literally incredible. I can't really do them justice, I know, but I'm honored to be able to read you a few of his poems anyhow. In the spirit of sustaining the dream that Arthur stood for, badass as he was, the dream that this day doubly represents, while at the same time trying somehow to exorcise the nightmare in the White House that daily threatens to put them on hold. The first one is a short poem that Arthur wrote for someone else, but I read it for Arthur. It's called Burial. It was subtitled A Sermonette. And where it has shown in its sleeve, the soul wears out the coat and the coat rags. With this quote close, and we read the stone, chewed your words, recalled how you bounced home like fruit in a bag, not light life enough to fill a hole. Let me read the incredible poem that Shirley referred to as I'm Inventing Michelangelo. It's still hard for me to believe it. He rose toward me in a little red boat. He rose with his tiny hands across the wind-tossed mind of God. The mind of God is sourceless, sea-green expanse of time flowing in every direction. God rose there too, carrying surveyor's tools and compass, making pointless maps without longitude or latitude, thinking the stars poor imitation of himself, pinholes where light leaks out of the dark. Michelangelo travels by instinct and luck and touch. God's mind flows between his fingers in seamless braille. He sings a song for sailors and ports part by part in little bundles and shrimp-sized steamer trunks. Michelangelo is not quite himself. He is dumped by delivery men into a bin at the south of my imagination, under a sunny window, the one with the begonia. He falls into a heap of scrap creation, whatever God has left over. I give Michelangelo the eyes of Rambo and the lopsided smile of my dog who ran away after only 1 week. Welcome, I say, and give him the voice of the radio, roses, and a pair of shoes. Sit down. I'm really getting to know Michelangelo, and he's relaxing too. Changes his own stations now. Walks around in his socks and takes what he wants from the icebox without sticking on little magnetized notes. 2 slices of cheese, a pear, 2 beers. I'll pay you later. In a dusty cowboy voice, stuffed with rugged individualism and prairie transcendence, Mike says, soon's I get set up, sweep, mop the studio, wash the windows, I'll write that book I always wanted to write. Lots of autobiography, but really a novel. Myself under the flag of a new name. I'm going to make me up from end to beginning, where I'll disappear into my future. Then I'm going to get some brushes and paint God a new soul, one of his own, not one messy all over the place, flopping all over the perspective like a hurricane of crows, or wandering restless through creation like some hobo hoodoo dream without a head to sleep in. From up there where the plaster's cracked and looks like God's migraine, Michelangelo looks down from his scaffold and sees a group of round young men lolling in a park. He desires them with his lopsided smile and his deep eyes of Rambo. And all the young men are Michelangelo's David, and all God, all are Michelangelo. They row towards him in little red boats, pulling the green air past them with their hands. And one last one. I can hear my goldfish singing. Arthur could. I can hear my goldfish singing. He is singing a love song. He is singing a whale song. He is saying, this bowl, my world, is a window. He is saying, this world, my bowl, is a ripple. My lover says her motion is a seabed's motion, and sea-soft, sea-hugged, at the hub of her, I feel her swelling in her gravity. And I can hear my goldfish singing, singing. Motion isn't possible, he is singing. My body, my motion, my motion. My wave, my cage, my world. And I can hear my goldfish singing. He is singing, the year is already too small.